Welcome to the VoxGig Developer Relations Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Roger. I speak to people in the software development community about developer relations, public speaking, and community events. I'm the CEO of VoxGig, a software consultancy that builds DevRel tools. Because we believe in the power of community, we host a monthly virtual online meetup for everyone in developer relations. Check out devrelmeetup.com. And visit voxgig.com to view our work, use our tools, and sign up for our newsletter. Okay. Please sit back and enjoy my fireside chat with today's guest. Developer relations is a cross-functional activity, and that means you've got to work with all the other parts of the business to do your job. In this episode, I talked to Diana Walsh, who works in customer success at HubSpot. It's important for us to understand what all the other parts of the business do, and Diana gives us a deep insight into customer success at a large SaaS. All right, let's talk. Diana, welcome to the Fireside with VoxGig podcast. It's really, really cool to have you on board because, of course, we are former colleagues and this time you get to be on the other side. Welcome.
I can't tell you how excited. Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am about talking to you, Richard. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really, really pleased to have you on the podcast. You are coming to us from Melbourne in Australia, which is really, really awesome. And I always have to comment on the weather, as my listeners know. And I know it rains in Melbourne quite a lot, but it's still better than here in Ireland.
When I tell people that I moved to Melbourne from Ireland because of the weather, they are like, seriously, you could have chosen any other city and then you moved to Melbourne. Good on you.
Yeah, well, I know some parts of Australia aren't that comfortable, right? If you go up to the north, it's like Darwin and places like that, right? That's very, very hot. So I have asked you on because while you were doing marketing stuff for VoxGig 5 or 6 years ago, you moved into customer relations since. And that's really interesting from a developer relations perspective, because one of the challenges that developer advocates have in larger organizations is the cross-functional role that they play. Right. So they have to talk to lots of different parts of the organizations, sales, product, and customer success, of course. So what we like to do sometimes on the podcast is talk to people in those areas so we can learn to be better behaved. it's not all conferences and running around organizing swag. We actually have to do some real work. So why don't we start? Why don't we start with the easy questions? Why don't you take us through what you do at HubSpot?
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, my current role is Principal Customer Success Manager in a specific team that is called the Strategic Accounts Team, which has been designed to look after the most valuable and often most complex customers that we have in HubSpot around the world. It's a new area for us in APAC. It's been established a bit longer in the Americas, then it went to Europe, and now we're bringing it here. It's a privilege, actually, for me to be one of the first. It was the second one that we hired. There is actually 4 of us now in the team.
Awesome.
And we have found that our role is, as you mentioned before, across different teams, right? We get the privilege to talk to people in different roles with different visions and different ways of approaching a problem. The most important thing that we have found, for instance, in the customer success role, and this is not only true for the company that I am in at the moment, HubSpot, but other companies that have been in the past. I've had the joy of being part of Adobe, being part of Twilio, being part of a local company called Teamform, which has a fantastic, very creative offering. And in all of them, what is true about customer success and developers is the fact that we align on objectives. It is important to align on the outcomes that you want to get out of a program or a project. And so that's where success and development get together.
And strategic accounts sounds like they're large integration projects, right? Where people are using HubSpot API to do all sorts of funky stuff that nobody thought of before. Do you have customers that break HubSpot? Because they try to do too much.
I have so many customers that have really interesting projects. And to be honest, Richard, of course, this is not a promotion of the company, but it is a great, great moment to be part of MarTech, right? And being part of the HubSpot team has been so fascinating because the company has evolved so quickly. Not long ago, HubSpot used to be just a marketing platform, right? And it had a few out-of-the-box solutions and that was it. But now with the powerful API that we have and also the fact that you can put programming actions within workflows, you can basically automate anything that you can imagine. And so that's when developers come alive, right? Because by nature, a developer is a very creative person. And so if you give them an objective to achieve, they would come up with the most ingenious solutions. So I've seen them using our workflows or the APIs to do basically anything. So I haven't seen anybody breaking the platform just yet.
Yeah, but you will. Don't worry. That sounds a little bit like Salesforce. I mean, you guys must be going up against them, really, because
we are going to get
kind of what you can do with Salesforce.
I think extensibility definitely is one of the big things for us at the moment.
Yeah.
Being able to enable anybody in a team to achieve whatever purpose that they have. I mean, the mission that the HubSpot has is very clear. We want to help businesses grow better. Yeah. And that grow better is whatever objective they want to achieve. We want to be able to enable that objective. And so extensibility becomes a key play for us.
Yeah. Well, it's like that phrase, right? Software is eating the world, right? So it's... one of the questions I wanted to put to you was, it's a little bit more theoretical, right? So not just for HubSpot, but in general. Given the role that you have around customer success, if I'm a developer advocate working in a reasonably large company like HubSpot, how should I interact with customer success, right? So I guess we have to take it from both perspectives.
Yes.
I could play the developer advocate, right? So
brilliant.
What you're looking for is the fact that the company is going to look after the people who are building the community. Because there's always people in customers who are key individuals in communities, right? You need to get them looked after so that customer success really understands that those people are vital to the much wider community of the company. And you also want to make sure that the messaging that you're giving out, especially when you go and do a conference talk or this type of stuff, or even a meetup talk or whatever, or even the interactions that you have at a booth at a conference, are aligned with what people are going to experience in customer success. But what we find as developer advocates is that it's very difficult to create that alignment. Now, you might get lucky and the alignment is created from above because the company is much more a fairly well-defined vision for what it's about. But that's what we would be looking for. And by the way, have you thought of all these other things? The other side of it, and there's a lot of awareness of this in developer relations, that it's a cross-functional role, is that we need to be helpful to others, right? So from a customer success perspective, how do we help customer success be successful?
Yeah, that's such a brilliant question. I think one of the keys in the relationship between customer success and development advocates is honesty. And having been on both sides of the fence, pre-sales and post-sales, I like working in post-sales because you get to experience the real product, right? We know when you see it as a pre-sales engineer, for instance, you see it with a developer and you do a demo, those demos are carefully curated, right? You show the part of the tool that you are 150% certain works and you adapt it to the need of the customer, of course, but you have to close the deal. Your objective is to close the sale, right? Customer success is different in the sense that we can't make it up as we go along. We have to show the real product, both with
real.
The good points, exactly right, the good things and the shortcomings, you know, and all the workarounds. We have to work together to make it work for the customer, right? So if you are the developer advocate, well, in my experience, the developers that I have spoken to, not only are they advocates in their own circle, they are advocates within the organization. So it's an important stakeholder for me. And also they are sometimes a decision maker, right? They could make or break the retention of my product in whatever team. So it is important that we both work together to make this investment work. when a customer comes to customer success, they have already bought the product, they already have a purchase, and we have a certain time. In my specific case, at the moment, is at least a year. We have a year to make it work. These people have already come through onboarding. They have already been trained. They know the basics of the product. And now it's how can we make the most of it with the good things and the shortcomings. So honesty is definitely a key for everybody there. Mm. And that message of honesty, once the experience is a good experience, the developer would be able to go and talk about it in other conferences. So we've had great advocates, for instance, talking about our technology when they go on their MarTech conferences or the Mar operations or the Rev operations or sales operations, right? And they are able to be fully transparent and say, yes, the platform is capable of doing this. How is that? This is how we solve this specific problem. We saw that they don't do X or Y at the moment. We know they move really fast. We have seen them evolving in the last few months or whatever. And for the time being, this is the workaround that we have been using. So that transparency is also fundamental. And it's good to start on that base, right? In the understanding that we're both driven towards the same objective, which is enabling a team to achieve their objectives. It's all about people. It's all about outcomes. At the end of the day, you can have all the technical mindset that you want. You can be an extraordinary programmer, be able to code anything in a matter of minutes. But if that piece of code doesn't have an impact for people, if it doesn't have an impact for the business, if you're not able to measure the revenue for the organization, it's not going to get very far.
Exactly. It's interesting that you say honesty, because some of the most powerful conference talks that I've seen are ones where you do a deep dive on some feature or client interaction or case study. Now, from a technical perspective, obviously, because it's for it is a developer advocate giving the talk. It takes a lot of bravery on the part of some organizations, I think, to open up and say, yes, we solved the customer's problem, but here were the workarounds to our own system that we had to put in place. Ironically, by having that vulnerability, by exposing those issues, the developers in the audience feel that the organization takes them seriously and is going to deal with their problems seriously.
Right.
I mean, that's a powerful... In developer relations, you're always looking for content, right? Because that's part of our job, is great content. But something
There is a series of values. There are definitely a series of values that you can pinpoint success to. And I think in HubSpot, we're very, very lucky to have actually that as the code of the company, but I have seen it in other companies as well. So it's not exclusive of us. It's just very well articulated in the customer code that we have in HubSpot. We actually, as HubSpotters, we have five values, the hard values, humbleness, empathy, adaptability. Oh my gosh, they are going to kill me because I don't remember the R.
That's honesty.
Transparency. Transparency is the other one. And so having those values at the heart of every conversation, and heart, the pun is intended, it really enables you to connect with people across different levels and in different areas. Our developers, for instance, are incredibly transparent when they remarkable. The R stands for remarkable. So I'll go again: humble, empathetic, adaptable, remarkable, and transparent.
There you go.
And our developers really take that philosophy to heart, and they know the most important thing that they can do is to develop a product that helps organizations grow better. That's basically what we do.
Yeah.
And that includes the transparency of being able to have the difficult conversations, right? And again, I think we mentioned this before in the chat that we had in the preparation to this. Some of the developers that I talk to are not only the ones within my customers' team. Those developers are also HubSpot developers, right? People who are going to improve the product, taking the feedback that I get from the customers. And so those developers have to be able to have the difficult conversations with the customer, connect with them and say, like, where is it that we could improve? How is it that our product is making your life miserable? And then the customer starts off in a rant, you know, developers love, you know? And it is fantastic to have their input because developers tend to be very specific, right? When you have a good developer, they are very well able to tell you technically what could or should be done.
Yeah.
But when you have a great developer, they are able to tell you why you should put that in the feature, right? What is the business outcome that you would enable? Why is it that people would feel better? You know, what is it that you would unlock with this feature? And so
it's gold, having isn't that, it? It's gold. That feedback is so valuable.
Exactly right.
And it's often overlooked.
Indeed.
Speaking of coders, you're also a bit of a coder as well, right? Because you actually followed an interesting it's a fairly common pathway into developer relations, because you started in marketing.
Indeed.
But then you ended up doing a coding diploma.
Yep.
And then ended up in customer success. Did you work as a coder directly afterwards, or did you always kind of know, I'm going to do something, I'm going to take this technical skill and do it adjacent?
Yeah, I always thought it was more for my literacy than actually to get a code to get a job as a proper coder.
Enough to be dangerous, right?
Exactly right. I think coding 100% of my time wasn't my gig, because I feel my heart belongs to a very specific area. If you could imagine a Venn diagram in which you had three circles, being one of them the business outcomes, another one being technical solutions, and then the third one being people management, stakeholder management, where those three intersect, that's where I'm the happiest. And so through my career, you're absolutely right. I started in marketing and communications. I had the privilege of working with huge organizations, really well-known brands around the world. Then I moved to Australia and I started working a lot with small organizations, and I got to see startups. I moved then to Ireland and I had, you know, the joy of working with you and another few small entrepreneurs. And through all of those experiences, I saw that not only the different industries and the way a company moves goes through different stages, but also marketing, which was the area that I have always loved, was evolving. And there was a gap being created, right? And so social media, this is going to show my age, but social media was popping up, you know? And so...
Oh, yeah, join the club, don't worry.
There were two camps of people. There were the camps of people who were incredibly good at social media. They were native on it. They grew up on it. They were able to do all your, you know, Instagram things and Twitter stuff. And then there were the very good marketers that understood data, understood systems, flows of information, and so on. Excuse me. And so I had the choice of, you know, what camp am I going to be in? Am I going to be with the young kids doing all the social media and, you know, working on content? Or am I going to be with people who are really seriously into a more technical sort of analysis? I also saw that the money was better in the other side. I'm like, okay, if I just add a little bit of technical knowledge, I'll be better off. And so that's why I decided to go into software development. I was super, super lucky to get the opportunity to go back to college. I did 2 years through college in the middle of COVID, locked up in a room with a child.
Well, but good time to do it at the same time.
So if you're ever thinking of doing it, spending your locked up time like that, please don't.
You survived.
I did survive. And I learned a ton. It was fantastic. And then after that, I was super, super lucky to specialize in technical customer success for a while, pre-sales, post-sales, working with not only developers, but, you know, business stakeholders, business decision makers, joining all of those perspectives and bringing to reality real outcomes for people.
I really like that Venn diagram idea, right? Because you can really articulate exactly what you want to do in your career. If you that's like a interview question answer. It's like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, well, I have a Venn diagram.
I'm working on this circle I'll be working on that circle.
No, I mean, we're joking, but it's actually, that's a seriously good answer, right? Because I was never, part of the reason I had to start my own company is I could never get a job. I could never get a proper job because I could never, it's like, what do you mean 5 years? Who knows? I don't know. I can't predict next week.
I do have to say that recently I was asked that question and I did give that answer. Like, awesome. I can't tell you 5 years. I don't think anybody, if you had asked that question before COVID, I don't think anybody would have said like, oh, well, in the next 2 years, I'll be locked up in a room, you know, with child and afraid of going out to supermarkets. Nobody saw it coming. And the world is changing so fast, especially in tech companies. Putting a path to 5 years might be a little bit overambitious, So yeah, if in an interview you get asked that question, feel free to push back and say, no, definitely. I am more of an adaptable person, able to, you know, resiliently come up with solutions depending on the context. And I promise you that's a better answer.
Yeah. I mean, twice in the past 5 years, it's been wrong, right? Once for COVID, now for all this AI stuff. Because
yes,
if you had plans from 2 years ago, they're all gone, right? Because all
yes,
that's an interesting question. How is generative AI affecting customer success? What is it?
It's been changing.
It's changing everything, yes. Right? But customer success in particular, what's happening there?
It's been fantastic, Richard. It's a huge opportunity. It's helping us with a lot of the admin load that we would have. In customer success, there is a lot of conversations, as you can imagine. We talk a lot with customers. We talk about a lot internally. We talk, you know, especially in the play that I am in at the moment, opening a new area, doing things that haven't been done before in this side of the world. There is a lot of documentation that needs to be, you know, created in order to make a process scalable. And AI has been fantastic on that, helping us keep track of stuff, helping us carry the admin load, helping us unlock different opportunities with customers. For instance, we have internal tools that have been created by our incredible developers in which they take a ton of data that humanly would be very hard to process and then distill it into 4 or 5 different key outcomes that we can use in our conversations with customers. That has been an extraordinary opportunity for us. I'm very excited about what is coming.
Yeah. And it's not even, wow, okay. There's this surface level thing, and we've seen that in developer relations where, yes, you know, it helps you generate content, but that's sort of 1% of the potential, right? Things like this, where it takes the boring work and compresses it or summarizes it, but not just a summary, finds the most important things. We've only just started, right? With this.
Like we have indeed.
We've only just started to understand what it can do. Yeah.
There are so many interesting cases. There is one, and I keep bringing it up. These folks are going to start, they have to start paying me advertisement after this. There is a bunch of folks in a company called Aptitude 8 in the States. And they were working with a plugin that you can use to create a custom prompt that you send to ChatGPT. So the example that they gave in the demo, which I thought was so, so cool, is the example of a gym, right? So you have a gym company, a small gym, and within your website, you have a form for people who are interested in signing up for personal trainer. And in the form, you ask all sorts of questions. What's your body type? What kind of days you have available for training? How many hours? Are you interested in developing muscle? Do you have any allergies? Do you have anything that you can imagine is asking that form? So you get a ton of information already. That is saved on your CRM. And then it's created, it's kind of compressed into a custom prompt that you send to ChatGPT. And ChatGPT, the prompts go something like, given these constraints, right? And it's a ton of constraints. Could you generate a personalized training program for this person and send it to me? And if you're not sure, then just give me a specific outcome. And that's how they solve for edge cases. And so that information that they receive from ChatGPT is then saved in the CRM and sent into an internal notification to a personal trainer. Because the human component is still super, super important.
Oh, yeah.
So the personal trainer will have to go. Would have
review
to go through the whole thing, exactly, validate that he's right, validate that there is no, you know, weird stuff happening in terms of hallucinations or anything like that. And then if they agree, they send it to the person. And this cuts the process of developing a personalized training program for a person from, I don't know, several days or hours into minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it is fascinating how we can take very complex points. And this is a very simple example, right? Because it's only, 15, 20 different data points that you would take in order to create the prompt and then get back the program. Imagine what you could do with more data points. When I had the privilege to work with Adobe, the things that they were doing in terms of identity reconciliation to have a 360 view of a customer, that was fascinating. And that was before AI. I can only imagine, you know, what the area, the industry of Martech is going to be in, I don't know, a year, 2 years, 5 years.
What's interesting about that is it's way more interactive and useful, right? Because mm-hmm. part of the frustration has always been badly targeted content. I mean, I still get loads and loads of LinkedIn messages, you know, people trying to sell you various things, software development services, whatever. Emails, right? Cold emails, all that type of stuff. And I mean, the sad thing is there's probably 5% of those offers that are actually useful.
Yes.
That I would buy, but they look like all the others.
Exactly right. Yes.
You know, and a lot of that content is useless as a result. It's if we could get rid of cold calling and cold emails.
I have found the most successful companies that do things like cold calling and so on, they succeed because they are able to deliver impact from the very first conversation.
Yeah.
When I was working with HubSpot in Ireland, I remember I was before COVID, so I was still in an office. And so I was sitting across from the BDRs, you know, people who were in charge of the cold calling. And I remember them having these little blackboard or this whiteboard, you know, this little thing that they could erase and write on and erase again. And they would record a video with the name of the person and the name of the company and a little diagram with, you know, the objective of the call. And so they would be holding that. The person would know that the video is not a generic video. You know, it was done specifically for them with their needs in mind, with their objectives in mind. And the speech would be, the script would have, of course, a structure with an intro and then, you know, the problem presentation and then an outcome and then, you know, call me, call to action. Call me, please arrange a call with me. But the content in itself would always be very, very tailored to the company that they were talking to. And they would be able to pinpoint a couple of problems within their website or within whatever asset they were analyzing and a potential outcome, a potential path and a potential outcome. And then like, hey, call me. And the rate of success that they had was incredibly high in relation to the industry. I don't remember the percentages, but I remember it being very high precisely because it was customized to the person and it was delivering impact.
Yeah, I think HubSpot has always been very, very good at that type of outbound, even from the very first, the early days.
Yeah. Inbound methodology,
Of course, it could go the other way. There could just be, the amount of spam could increase by 10% or 10 times as well. So who knows?
Indeed,
But we can live in hope. Okay, I am going to say thank you and goodbye. It's been super, super interesting. And thank you for sharing the customer success perspective.
No problem.
Hopefully it helps. Doing the developer relations job it's a really rewarding job. But it tends to drive people a bit crazy because what often happens is a single person gets hired and they're expected to do the work of an entire team. And not even in terms of work volume. It's just imagine if, you know, in the morning you had to code and then you had to moderate a community, right? And then you had to write articles all in the same day, the same morning, again and again and again.
But I think that's where there is an opportunity to, I think that's where there is an opportunity to partner with customer success in the different organizations you work with. Because the objective for everybody is the same. You want to develop the industry. You want to develop the solution. You want to, at the end of the day, you want to achieve objectives for your community. Customer success, and this is probably one of the biggest learnings I've had, and one of the key messages that I want to deliver here. Customer success is a partner for developer advocates. We are here to enable you and everybody in your team to make the most of the investments that you have already made. And this is true for every organization that has a customer success play. We are here to enable you with the resources, the knowledge, anything that we can provide, we will be able to do so. And that also includes marketing in our teams. So I often work with my customers to get them to a point where they are worth a case study, right? Where they had a problem, we have put in place a solution, there is a clear outcome, and it's a measurable, you know, we have measurable KPIs around it. We're able to show the success, and then marketing gets involved and create that story for them and pumps it through our channels. So the developer can work with us. We can work with them. It's a partnership where everybody benefits. So lean on us, lean on customer success. It's a good opportunity for everybody.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't think we do enough. I don't think we do enough of that. You may regret it. Diana, thank you so much. It's been really great catching up. Take care.
No problem. Bye-bye. Thank you very much, Richard. And thank you, everybody.
You can find the transcript of this podcast and any links mentioned on the podcast section of our website, voxgig.com/podcast. Subscribe to the VoxGig Developer Relations Podcast on Apple, Spotify, or any podcasting platform. We publish each Tuesday and Thursday. You can also access the archive of our meetup talks on the VoxGig YouTube channel or the VoxGig website. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.